From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fan. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. This is the Big Blue Roundtable talking mandatory camp stuff. So right now, the last installments of all that, before we got a couple weeks away or whatever it may be, about a month to training camp. Bleed Blue Show, BleedBlueShow.com, audio archive episodes on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps as well. Just to say that on the safe side, man, it was a good week of episodes with the Bleed Blue Show. Definitely want a lot of people to go back and check out the audio archives as well. So we're going to do a quick plug on all the shows. We did earlier this week, we talked, matter of fact, we had the video recap episode. We had right there live, we were talking the Yankees, we were talking the boxing. And this is all before all the stuff that broke this week. So all that good stuff was available talking on the video feed. Had a good time of the reaction of what happened right before game five of the NBA Finals. That was on Sunday. Video feed, you can check that out on the Facebook fan page, The Bleed Blue Show. If you are a New York Rangers fan or a hockey fan in general, our episode of the Rink Podcast with Ranger Proud, we talked NHL, Las Vegas expansion, we talked buyouts. And it was a good episode. Ranger Proud, Facebook, Twitter, Ranger.Proud on Instagram as well. You can go check that episode as well in audio archives of the Bleed Blue Show. Last, but certainly definitely not least, it felt good to talk Knicks. I know the Knicks have been a train wreck, but it was great to have that dialogue for the first time in a while with the guys, talking Knicks basketball, the infamous Knickerbocker Avenue, our source for the streets for the New York Knicks. And it was good insight, man. We talked NBA draft. We talked the roster currently right now for the Knicks, and it was good dialogue all the way around, man. Draft next week, we'll talk about that as well. So you have the Yankees episode from earlier this week, the video show. We had the Rink Podcast with the NHL with Ranger Proud, Knickerbocker Avenue, our source for the streets for the New York Knicks. Knickerbocker Avenue, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as well. iTunes, Podcast Republic, tune in your Stitcher apps to get that episode on your smartphone devices, or you could go to the podcast tab of BleedBlueShow.com. So right now we are in the midst of Big Blue football. We are in the midst of mandatory stuff, getting all that finished out. It definitely got to get the stakeholders' perspective as far as what they like, dislike. I actually got some things I want to bring to the table as well for the mandatory stuff. Things that probably haven't been discussed in depth. We'll bring that to the table. Looking forward to the stakeholders when they call in. We're going to have that dialogue. It should be fun, man. It should be fun. And all the episodes we've done in the offseason, we graded the players. We looked at each individual part of the team, the line, defense, offensive line, the whole shebang, man. And it's time to take that dialogue, time to take what we said right after the conclusion of the season and really put it how it transcends going into 2017. That's kind of where this dialogue should go this evening, and look forward to having that conversation, man. Definitely do. You know, we got our star receivers there because it's mandatory now, and we also have guys the big contracts like Olivier Vernon, you know, Janoris Jenkins, Damon Snacks Harrison in the second go around. Offensive line, is that going to be improving? The battle on the right side. Also, if you're talking about the linebackers, we definitely got a lot of questions about that, me personally. And then also scheme, I definitely want to bring some scheme to the table too, and definitely pick the brain of the stakeholders as well. So we are on 929-477-4171. If you're talking Giants with us, we're going to have a great dialogue. Bring on the stakeholders. So just call in the number 929-477-4171. Or you can stream us. And if you are streaming, if you're watching the stream on Instagram or Facebook fan page or Steve Chris, either way you're watching it, put in the comments so we can shout you out and we can definitely get that dialogue going so we can coordinate and have a conversation with the stakeholders back and forth with Giant fans and NFL fans at large. Let's talk football. Let's bring on, I think Robbie's in the queue. We'll bring on Robbie. Robbie, that's at EverythingNYG, at EverythingNYG on Twitter. Follow Robbie at EverythingNYG. Robbie, what's going on, man? How's everything?
Hey, what's up, man? Excited for another week of the Bleed Blue Show, bro.
I'm definitely excited, too, man. How's your week been, man? How's everything?
It's been good. It's been good, man. I've been working over here in Florida. It's been rainy as heck. Every day it's been raining. So it's been gloomy, man. It's making the wait for football even longer.
All right, cool, man. So we can start off with you. When the guys get on and the gals get on, we'll call it when they call in. So we're telling people if they whatever comments they have, you know, put it in the put it in the comments so we can shout you out and we can go away around that. Robbie, we got through the mandatory stuff. What do you take out of mandatory camp on the softball level as far as what you like, dislike thus far? Fire away.
I mean, there hasn't really been too much to say so far other than the fact that the wide receivers are everything I wanted them to be and more so far. Because when you have Brandon Marshall, Sterling Shepard, and Odell Beckham, one of them is going to be double covered, and if one of them is not double covered, they're all going to be single covered. So, in other words, one of them is going to be open, if not all of them. It's just been disgusting. I mean, if Odell's not open, Brandon Marshall's open. Brandon Marshall ain't open, Odell and Sterling Shepard are open, man. It's just, it's honestly nasty. And then you have Evan Engram, who was just signed about an hour ago officially. You have his speed going up the middle, and he's lining at receiver as well. So, it's going to be interesting to see how teams want to stop this passing attack, man. Eli needs to have his end held up, and the offensive line needs to as well. But seriously, this is going to be the best passing attack in football on paper right now. So if they can live up to that and McAdoo can call the right plays other than be predictable, this will be a very special year for the offense and that defense that was incredible last year as well, man.
Let me ask you the question. You brought it up as far as McAdoo being predictable. I thought a lot of the take from stakeholders, the fans, that we said that a lot of that had to do with a poor, subpar offensive line. He didn't really want to open up the playbook because probably linemen could have sustained their blocks. Do you think that aspect on the offensive line is, you think, because we know about the stories with Ereck Flowers in the offseason getting leaner and better shape, but we still need to see the pads and all that. But do you think he's in a position to block well up front, open up the playbook more? Do you think that's down the road when it comes to Ben McAdoo's aspect from running the offense?
Oh, yeah, it makes a big difference because when McAdoo came in, the first thing he did and the biggest thing he did statistically-wise, he had Eli Manning get the ball out of as fast as he's ever done it in his career. So not only does that prove, one, that's what he wants to do, but two, maybe that's not what he wants to do. So let me go against myself. Maybe it's not. Maybe he wants to have time in the pocket. Maybe he wants to have a deeper threat offense. And you can't when your quarterback's getting smacked within, you know, a second and a half to 2 seconds. So if the offensive line can hold up this year, if they can play the guys that need to be there other than by contract, I really do think that'll open up the playbook, you know, so much. Because if we can get verticals going and all crazy routes going all over the field, where we got Marshall going deep, we got Shepard across the middle, Odell's on slants, things like that, man. And Odell, and not Odell, Eli really has time to sit in the pocket and watch it develop and have time to hit the right one instead of just being sporadic and throwing it, closing his eyes and throwing it. That would make a big, big, big difference, man. So, yes, if the O-line holds up, that would change the entire scheme of the offense, definitely.
All right, thank you very much, Robbie. Sounding off, we're going to get back around to you. Let's bring on more stakeholders and no other key stakeholder to this platform we call the Big Blue Roundtable here on the Bleed Blue Show. Legendary Chris, co-host Chris, what's going on? How's everything?
Man, you're going to hate me because I'm not only am I late, but I missed all the G-Men news today. Don't hit me, Steve. Don't virtually slap me through this phone. I am sorry. It's been a crazy day. And I said, oh, my God, let me get over here really quick. What's up, Rob?
What's good, man? What's good?
Where are we at, Dad? Where are we at? I'm so sorry. I'm just getting in. I heard you say something about open up the offense. What was the question, Steve? I'm so sorry, man. I'm just now getting settled in, bro. Please forgive me, man. What's happening? Talk to me. Where am I at?
Just real quick, what's your thoughts as far as getting through mandatory now? You got Beckham's there finally because it's the mandatory session.
Yes.
The offense, McAdoo. I'll get through the more stuff, but what's your take on it in general?
Well, it's past time, and I don't have – I think everything that has been discussed so far in terms of the prediction of the 2017 New York Football Giants is probably on point. I have the same speculatory nature as everyone else concerning this offensive line. And it's always going to start with Eric Flowers. Everyone says leaner, faster. He said it on his tweet. He's leaner, faster, huger, stronger, powerful, Superman with an S on his chest. He feels much better. He may just be that. And that will help. That will make a hell of a difference, man, because, look, as I said before, and I alluded to last year, Eli needs another 3 to 4 seconds in that pocket. That's all he's asking for. And if we get some kind of consistency in terms of just I'm trying to figure out the word I'm trying to use, Steve, in terms of what I know a push would be the operable term for the defensive line, but offensive line, I guess just a way to hold it down. You know, if they could just hold it down, it'd be fun. It would be okay. I'm not sure what we're going to get in DJ Fluker, but I think he's going to be a welcome addition. I'm not sure what Bobby Hart is. I still don't know what the hell is going on with that, Robbie, because you had sang his praises for a little while there last year. But I'm looking forward to Chad Wheeler and Biswadi, because I think they have something to offer us. I just like everyone else, my whole focus is this offensive line. I want to see them in pads, see how they perform, see what they can do, see what kind of quote-unquote strength and athleticism they possess. Other than that, man, that's I really don't have anything to say. I think Eli has more than enough weapons. No, he has more than enough weapons to deal with from an offensive scheme of things. I'm just concerned about the line like everyone else. I think the running game is going to be there. I think you're going to find out that we're really going to get some surprises in terms of the backfield. I think Gallman is going to surprise the folks. I think that Perkins is going to be even better. I think that I truly believe that I'm not having any love for him that much. My fullback there that we just acquired in the offseason that I'm having a problem thinking about right now.
You're talking about Shane Smith, my bad.
Thank you. Yeah, I think we got something to look forward to here from offensively. I'm not worried about that. And if we can sustain some continued drives, which I believe we can, okay, particularly the first half of the season when you look at the schedule, I think we'll be fine. I just don't know what we have as an offensive line, Steve, and I'm gonna leave it right there for the other stakeholders to talk about. That's where my concern is. I don't know what we're getting, so that's where I'm at with that.
All right, cool, Chris. We'll definitely go back around because I got a lot of questions for all the stakeholders tonight. So that was plotted in my mind. Let's bring on Rebel Chantel Rebel and get her thoughts. Welcome, lady.
Welcome
back to the Big Blue Roundtable. Is she there? Chantel Rubin.
Chantel.
Okay, maybe she is not there.
Hello?
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, there you go. What's up, Chantel? How's everything?
Hey, baby.
Hello?
You're there. Hello?
Yeah, you're there. What's going on?
Good cold evening from Long Island, New York. It's cold out here.
I know it is.
It's cold. Chris, y'all out here laughing. I'm out here pacing. It's cold. Jesus Christ, y'all over there dying. No, I don't want to go inside. Goodness, y'all over here laughing. Y'all asses off at me being cold. I God forbid what y'all would do if I got bit by a raccoon.
Nah, it ain't that bad. You can't. There ain't no way.
I'm sorry for laughing. No, but what's this? Steve had a question. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, we were just talking as far as mandatory stuff. Chantel does a lot of her homework. Chantel, like, how do you feel as far as what you like, dislike, what you're hearing out of camp thus far?
Well, so far I'm liking a lot about what I hear about camp. I like that Brandon Marshall's really, you know, trying to get into this offense, trying to figure out the mechanics in building a quarterback receiver relationship with Eli. I'm really liking that. Basically, like I said, like, you know, a lot of stuff that was, you know, that I was liking, but I want to take it in another direction. I want to take it to a couple of things that I don't like, you know, and it's really, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, it's so easy to see the things that are likable. It's easy to see that, you know, you like Beckham being there, you like Ingram and how he's, you know, he's doing his thing, but there's a couple of things that do bother me, and they don't make a really big impact, but as a player, with a player's point of view, it really kind of gets under my skin. And the person that I want to talk about is Owa Adeguizuwa, this one. Third round 2015 pick, you know, came in as like a project, came in basically on crutches and bandages, you know, just came injured and has barely played, you know, because sorry, I'm yelling at my aunt. But anyway, this guy has been more injured and on the bench than being a product on the field. So here's my thing. Here we are, you know, voluntary minicamp has gone by and now it's mandatory and he still hasn't made any kind of appearance. Now, it's easy for us as fans to sit here and say, like, you know, oh, well, he's a bum. Well, he's trash. Well, he was never going to be anything. But as a player, you have to ask, is that the kind of reputation that you want as your, you know, for yourself? Is that, are you comfortable with hearing that? Because, you know, the defense just came off a great season. You know, just defense alone made a powerful jump from being, like, the bottom of the league to, like, the top of the league. And there's something special right now. You have to ask yourself, do you really want to be a part of this? Because as it stands, Romeo Okwara, who was undrafted free agent last year, just jumped you on the depth chart and proved that he was right to jump you on the depth chart. I mean, when JPP went down, he stepped in and had a good campaign. You, on the other hand, like, you're not even making an effort. You go on Twitter, you go on, you know, Instagram, and you're like, oh, well, you're sending out these cryptic messages about your football future. And then, you know, you come in and like, oh, well, you know, I'm still going to be here. But you're not making any kind of effort to, you know, to prove that you want to be a part of this team. And it drives me crazy because it's like nobody's talking about it. Nobody wants to give any kind of information. And I understand, like, yeah, we have depth, yeah, even without him. But, you know, as a player, do you really want to be here? Because we're getting to the point in your career where anybody else can just jump up and you will be cut. You know, this is a once-in-a-lifetime kind of thing. Not everybody gets a chance to go out and, you know, have the career that they want to have. You have every potential to do that, but it's like you're not putting in an effort. So, Adeguizuwa, do you want to be here or not? It's up to you. Because we as the fans, we already have a shiny defense. Do you want to be a part of that? That's all I want to know. And that's it.
Let's go around with that. Robbie, how do you feel about double O? And we go back to Chris. Robbie, how do you feel about double O? What Chantel was just saying.
I mean, I agree with her for the most part. I mean, when you get an opportunity like that, you know, to come in already injured, already as a project, you come in the third round. And all we have on you is that you have a frame that looks like an NFL player. That's all we had on him. Is another one of those Jerry Reese picks where he reached and said, hey, I like him, let's take him. That's just what Jerry Reese does. So this is the type of guys he finds. Look at Avery Moss this year. I know I haven't seen him play yet, but he picks random people and hopes it pans out. So Double O is one of those guys, man, that like she said before, but she summed it up perfectly. He's not going to give you any effort. He's proved that, and I don't see him changing that. You know, whatever your personal issues are, man, I get that. But why is he still on our team then, man? We don't need him at all. We have Avery Moss now. We have Romeo Okwara, who looks like a damn near starter in the NFL. JPP and a bunch of other guys back there that can step in and take over. So we don't need him at all. He's never done anything at all. And he's never proven to be anything special outside of a bust third-round pick. So if I'm the Giants, man, I'm cutting him right now. You don't need the drama. Get rid of him. There's no need. He's not. You can't even classify him as depth, because depth is something you can actually rely on. Can you rely on him? What has he done at all? Like, I literally watched him play twice, and the dude struggled to get by a four-string offensive tackle. So he's a bum, dude. He's not good. So, you know, the fact that he doesn't want to be a part of the number two defense in the NFL for personal issues that are probably him just being butthurt that he doesn't get to play should just basically sum up the fact that he shouldn't be here, man. Cut ties, free up the cap space, and give somebody else a chance.
All right, Chris, don't be easy on him.
There's
what's your thoughts on Double O?
There's
nothing to say.
No, I'm going straight easy. There's nothing really to say. I can't follow those two. I mean, look, the easiest thing I can say is that, okay, first of all, we didn't hardly see him. I think he missed 12 games his rookie year. Last year, he missed two games with a knee injury, but he also missed a playoff game with a hamstring injury. As far as I know, when you hamstring injuries occur from you being active, playing every down, being a part of the team, being an integral part of the defense, your hamstring normally wears down because you have been really involved. You have been really active. And this guy is a walking goddamn medical report, man. He just got to go. It looked great on paper, I understand. He looked strong and well-built, and he had that athletic cut, you know, the long arms and the huge hands, and it looked like – it actually still looks like he has the ability to play defensive tackle, like in pass rushing situations in the three or four plays we've seen him in so far this NFL career. But dude's got to go. He's wasting a spot here. You know, Avery Moss or I don't know, Evan Schwann or one of these guys should come right on in and take that spot and work it to the best of their ability. We're wasting our time on them. Everybody's right. Chantel's right. Robbie's on point. Old boy's got to leave. He's got to go. See what arena football is like.
Yeah, you know, Chris, you already know where I stand about Double O. I said from day one he was a project. I didn't think he was going to cut it. The tape that he had coming out of UCLA, I felt that it was a lot missing with them. I mean, he made plays, but there was something about that, his style being shorter. It really wasn't Giants. Like, Giants don't really use, like, short defensive ends or defensive linemen. They're usually, like, big monster guys, like a JPP, like a Michael Strahan, you know, Martin, guys like that. They, like, you know, Leonard Marshall. They want monsters, mountains. Double O didn't really fit that for me, so I didn't really see how this was going to pan out. And like you say, he's been a walking medical report. It's just he was never being on the field. And I think Chantel was, you know, looking up and down the roster and said, yo, who am I going to air out this time? And Double O was like, yo, you got to – I don't know. He may not even make the team, honestly. Like, look at the defensive end depth chart, right? You already got Vernon on one side, JPP on another side. Then you brought in the Avery kid. And then you got Romeo Okwara. That's four right there. And then if you add in Kerry Wynn, you can only keep but so many defensive ends, you know?
I'm sorry, I was on mute. You're right.
I mean, you only can keep but so many.
And, you know, Okwara, man, I'll tell you what. He looks the part. I'm alluding to the earlier statement that was made. He looks the part. He's got the excellent size and length that we were talking about. He's a hard worker. He's got the fine motor. That's a giant. You know, and this Double O kid has never brought it. He's never brought it. You have to have – look, we are a playoff-level team. Okay? We are a playoff team. We are a contender. And we are a team that is coming off a decent season, and we hope to get higher because we've made some adjustments to improve in just about every department, to be honest with you, you know? And, like, we just, you can't, but see, the thing is, it's like if you move from one house to another, you can't bring the old baggage that you never used from the first house to the new house, because you're not going to put it to use. You need to leave it there or throw it out. That's what Double O is. We need to throw him out, man. Sorry. He's useless. He has no redeeming value to the NFL's, one of the highest level rated defenses there is in the NFL. No redeeming value he adds. Let him go over to the Browns and see if he can make some amends there. I don't know. He's just got to go. He's got to leave. That's enough
for him, man. Yeah. From the Facebook, Gifted Right, he says fuck Double O. I pick Okara over him, even our fifth rounder. And he also says Double O has done nothing, plus he has too many issues and not one sack. Shaking my damn head. So that's from the E table here on the Big Blue Round Table. Robbie, I want to shift gears to we talked about Evan Engram about being signed. So what's your thoughts as far as that? Implementing him into the offense.
Yeah, man, it feels good to have him officially a Giant, man. You know, that's it. There's nothing else to say there. He's officially a Giant now. He's officially on the depth chart. He's officially able to be on the Madden rosters. He's officially a Giant, man. So his contract figures were 4 years, $10.7 million, about $6 million signing bonus. So if he pans out the way I think he will, that's a steal and a half, a 23. I think he'll be potent in this offense, man. I really do. I mean, when you have a guy that runs a 4-3 split at tight end, he's not a tight end, dude. He's a hybrid. So you can throw him at wide receiver. You can throw him at tight end. You can throw him at fullback. And that's freaking running back speed, too. Shoot, I mean, the way I look at it is he's depth at all those positions, man. If you know, because we have real tie-in people like that. So say we get in a really bad situation, God forbid, a wide receiver, we got to put him there. He can do that. You know, from what I've seen, he can do that. I mean, the talk that the wide receivers have been saying, Brandon Marshall, Odell Beckham, all these guys, they've all said he runs routes like a receiver, dude, and he's quicker than them. He's faster than Odell Beckham, man. That's insane. So, that's, like I said, that's insane. So that offers a whole nother scheme to the tight end spot, a whole nother scheme to McAdoo. So if he can't find a way to make this kid produce, I don't know what else to say, man, because seriously, when you have the tangibles like that, his arm length, his speed, his height, he's 6'4", 4'3", had the third longest arms wingspan at the combine. He had the fastest three cone, he had the best shuttle, shuffle drill, all that stuff, man. He is very, very, very polished, and he's great with the media. The media loves the kid. I mean, he's so, so well at handling himself. He's very, very soft-spoken, but he does it, you know, in a very demanding way. He's a great, great guy, great player. So I think he's going to be great for us, man. I think the fans are going to love him. I don't think he'll be an Odell Beckham first year. He's a tight end, but I honestly can see this kid turning into a Rob Gronkowski type, production type player if he's used right. So I'm excited, man. I'm honestly excited that he's officially a Giant now. You can officially get his number 88. That's what he's linked in, what he's locked in as right now, you know, as a Giant. And it's exciting to see where it goes, man. I'm really curious to see how he blossoms in this offense. And like I said, he already looks like a polished NFL player, so I don't think he has a long way to go to development. I don't really think there's any development within that kid. I think you just show him the offense and let him catch the ball. So just excited, man. Just pure optimism, and I'm excited for him.
All right, cool. Chris, let's bring on the Sim and get his thoughts. Sim, to get you up to speed.
Let's
Sim, welcome back to the Big Blue Roundtable. What is your thoughts on what we just said? Double O. Chantel picked out Double O this week as far as making the roster. If you have any thoughts on that, as well as what we said, we just brought up Evan Engram to the table because he just signed with the Giants earlier this evening. What's your thought in implementing him into the offense, and what you like about what he's brought to mandatory camp thus far?
I mean, the stuff that I've been seeing and reading, his camp has been pretty good. Tempering my enthusiasm, though, just from the simple fact that it's glorified T-shirt and shorts. So until I see him with the pads on and being hit by linebackers, being jammed by linebackers, being covered by corners or safeties, then I make a better assessment about what he's doing. But he definitely looks like he could be a weapon to this offense, and he has to look like he could be a playmaker, man. I'm on record as saying it wouldn't surprise me if he has a big first 3-4 games, because defenses really don't know how to game plan for him yet, because they don't know how huge of a part of the offense he's going to be. And, you know, with guys like Marshall and Odell and Shepard, they're going to get most of the attention as far as the pass coverage goes until he goes out and he proves himself, you know, against NFL competition. So I expect at least the first couple of games for him to have, you know, a couple monster plays, and then slowly the league is going to start catching on and he's going to start being the focal point of the defensive game plan. So once that happens, you know, I guess Eli will spread the ball around. But I like what I'm seeing from the young man so far, and hopefully he can keep it going. You know, I don't know what's going on with Double O. Double O looked like he just, I don't know. I'm hearing they saying that he's not around for personal reasons. I'm not sure if that has something to do potentially with family. You know, maybe someone in the family could potentially be sick or something, or, you know, something. I'm not going to jump to conclusions on exactly why he's not there, because we don't know. But we can definitely go ahead and say that even if he was there, it definitely would be he would have to work for that position that he has, man, just for the simple fact that there's a lot of depth there. And it looked like the scholarship time is over, man, and you gotta make hay. And if you're not doing it, you're gonna get cut. So, you know, he had the upper hand as a draft pick, but it wouldn't surprise me if maybe, you know, he didn't make the team. But, you know, hopefully he gets his life together with whatever else is going on, so that he can solely focus on football. So, you know, if he could do that, then he'd be okay. So hopefully all is well for him and he can get back, you know, to being a member of the team and doing what he needs to do.
All right, cool. Sim, another follow-up question, then we'll go back around and we'll over go to Chris. But what are some things that you're liking from the mandatory stuff that pretty much the roster is there? Like, what are the things that you're liking what you're hearing and seeing? I know it's not the pads, it's not full contact, but what are the additional things? And then we'll move on to the next person.
I guess the only other thing that I could say that I like so far is I like the fact that they're saying B.J. Goodson is looking pretty good. He's commanding the defense well, and he's been playing in the base defense, and he's also been playing in the nickel defense. And it's been quite a while since we had a three-down linebacker, period, let alone a three-down middle linebacker. So if he can keep that up, that's good. And I'm very interested to see when the pads go on for the offensive and defensive linemen. I want to see what Tomlinson brings to the table. And more importantly, I want to see what all the weight loss and all the work that Bobby Hart and Eric Flowers did in the offseason, and see how that translates when it comes to putting the pads on and actually moving your feet and doing the other things that you need to do. So that's most what I'm looking forward to, seeing what B.J. Goodson does to solidify the middle of that defense, and seeing what Bobby Hart and Flowers can do. Because if those two guys show up and they even play slightly above average, this offense can go from okay to great, like, in the blink of an eye. So hopefully those guys got it together this year.
Yeah, thanks, Sim. We'll go back around to you. Let's bring on a call from nine, ending at 9913. 9913, what's going on?
What's up, guys? It's Christian from the Bronx.
Christian from the Bronx. What's up, man? How's everything?
Everything is great, man. Can't complain. How are you?
Not bad. Welcome back to the Big Blue Roundtable. We're just going through. We talked about, let's get you up to speed. We brought up Double O as far as productivity or lack of productivity, and is he going to make the roster? And Evan Engram was signed earlier this evening, as well as, you know, Sim brought up B.J. Goodson as well. Those three points, as well as what other things you're looking at as well thus far in mandatory camp in 2017?
When it comes to Double O, man, I mean, I hope everything, you know, is okay with him and his personal life. I mean, I don't know if it's really a personal thing or I don't know what's going on, but I just hope everything, you know, comes out for the better. You know, everything becomes good. But I don't think he's going to be on the roster come September, man, to be honest. That's just a feeling I'm getting based on things I'm hearing from camp. The competition in camp right now is off the roof, man. There's a lot of competition, so I don't think he'll be on the roster, man, unfortunately, if he continues to, I guess, miss practice time, even though this was like OTAs and things like that. It's like, you know, I just don't see him on the roster. One thing that I like that I heard was from Webb. I heard that he's been doing pretty good and better than expected from people I follow on Twitter. That's some of the comments I've heard. And that's kind of refreshing to hear because overall, before we drafted him on the roster, you know, we had pretty good depth, you know, on every position except for, like, most likely I think it was quarterback. Right, and like if you think about it, if Eli Manning was to go down, that's pretty much our season right there, you know. So to hear that we have a deep, you know, a rookie quarterback that is showing out in a way, you know, better than expected and things like that. I love that. That I hear that, you know, that's a great sign. Because you never know what happens to Eli. If Webb is something better than average, then our hopes are still alive, you know, in terms of, like, playoffs, things like that. So I'm happy that I heard that about him. I'm looking forward to Gallman. I heard some pretty good things about him. Looking to see how he plays with the pads on in training camp. And, yeah, I'm excited, obviously, for everything else. But I'm looking forward to seeing how Gallman plays and Webb, man. That's pretty much it.
Hey, Chris, you want to follow up on Chris's point on Davis Webb, the backup quarterback? There's been a lot of good news as far as him being a bookworm and a gym rat as well. Davis Webb, a backup quarterback. As far as the future, that is another bright spot, too. What's your thoughts, Chris, on that? And then we'll go back around to the top with Robbie.
I think he's going to be a great quarterback. I could tell by his scholarship approach. I think that he came in here with that mind, you know, well, he's got a couple of things. He's got to prove some things from college. He's got to prove that he's worth that third round draft pick. He's got to prove that he's not going to be a flash in the pan. He's got to prove to the New York media and the NFL scouts that he has all the tools at hand, and he knows this. And he's ready for this challenge. I believe that he is going to sit there for a minute, soak everything up he possibly can, with a kind of a coach's attitude, if you will, instead of being just a clipboard holder. And I think he is really going to be something to behold here in the future. And also, you know, his gifts too, man. I mean, look, he's got the tools. He's got the size. He's got that strong-ass arm. He can move around the pocket, which is, you know, a McAdoo thing, obviously. But he's not a scrambler, though, you know. And, you know, he throws a nice, you know, nice deep ball. He could get it through the windows. He's smart. He's hardworking. He loves the game. I think he's dedicated to doing a lot of things very well and getting a lot better at his craft. He looked streaky in college, but that was college, man. And also, He had to move around a little bit, as you remember. So I'm not going to hold that against him. I think that I think we got something here. And I think that was, and looking at it now, I think it was a genius pick. That's what I think. That's my take on him, Steve.
All right, cool. Yeah, I heard a lot of good things with him, man. And it's the fact that Mike Sullivan is kind of vouching for him, saying that him bringing on a new offense, because there was a lot of this talk that he ran the same offense at Cal. No, that is definitely not the case. You can tell by the formations that Cal ran versus what the Giants run. Definitely not the same offense. But for the fact that he's picking it up is actually kind of – it's actually encouraging too, man. If they say that this is what it's going to be in a couple of years after passing the torch, that is good. I got to – I want to go back to Robbie as far as B.J. Goodson. I know Antonio Pierce has made a sighting scene, working with B.J. Goodson. Antonio Pierce giving an endorsement on that. And also – the safeties, the competition at safety. That's a thing that we're all looking at, especially with the depth at safeties. Robbie, if you want to dwell on those points as well as anything else you would like to bring to the Big Blue Roundtable, talking about B.J. Goodson, the safety competition, and anything else you'd like to say.
Yeah, man. Hey, real quick, as far as Davis Webb, one thing I will say here, I think I was one of the only people that was happy about that pick that night, man. That was first-round talent in the third round. There was other needs there, and I get that, but he was the best pick available by far. Davis Webb is a very good player, and there's a lot of people, including that NYG Daily guy on Twitter, I can't stand him, a rival of mine, basically. He hates Davis Webb, man. He thinks that he can't become a franchise quarterback and all this. It blows my mind, man. Davis Webb, he showed every bit of every tool so far early. Again, in shorts and shirts, I get that. But so far, he showed me everything to be a franchise quarterback. He's big. He's stocky. He can move. He's a gym rat. He's a bookworm. The dude can get down with it, man. I really think the dude can get down with it. So I'm excited to see what he can do. Eli ain't got a lot under his belt to go, man. I promise you that. He really doesn't. So Davis Webb, that was a great pick. As far as the safety competition goes, man, y'all know how – the people that have been here for a long time, y'all know how I felt about Darren Thompson, man. Y'all know how I felt about Darren Thompson. I think that's his spot. I really like Andrew Adams, and I think that's incredible depth there, and I really do. But Darian Thompson, he's been my guy, and he's going to be the Giants guy. Like I've always said, man, he is an Earl Thomas-type player that if he can stay healthy, he will crush. I know a lot of y'all were at that Cowboys game. In week one, when he played, we all saw what he could do, man. He is a ball hawk. He is just good. Seriously, man. Y'all will see. Darian Thompson's been a beast since Boise State. I've been watching him since he was a sophomore. I really have a lot banking on him. I really like Darian Thompson, but I also really like Andrew Adams, man. So that'll be a dogfight. B.J. Goodson, another guy, man. I loved that pick back in the day, back at that time a year ago, 2 years now. I loved that pick, man. He was a beast at Clemson, an absolute field general at Clemson. He was a captain. He had picks out the yin-yang. He had tackles. He had sacks. He's an all-around, do-it-all middle linebacker. And the other day, he was doing a questionnaire on Twitter with the Giants, answering questions, and just he's so quick to respond. He's really intelligent. Talking about, you know, how humble he really is, how he knows how this defense, he has to know where to line everyone up. And so he knows what comes with this spot, man. It's not just him as a player, it's the defense. That Mike middle linebacker, you're everything on that defense, man, and that's where he struggled for so long. So, you know, if Pierce is out there endorsing him, man, something's on the right track. So I think Goodson will be a damn good player, man. I really do. I think he'll be better than Casillas right off the bat. And yeah, I really believe in Goodson. I really believe in Darian Thompson. I really believe in Davis Webb. I think all those are franchise future players. I honestly mean that too. I really think B.J. Goodson will be incredible this year. I think Darian Thompson will have at least 4 picks this year if he can stay healthy the whole year. And I think Davis Webb will shine in the preseason like Dak Prescott did. Give him some time. Give him 2 to 3 years, and I think he'll start. If I'm still on the show at that time, then and he's our starter. Remember, I'm telling you. I think he's going to start, and I think Darian Thompson will have at least 4 picks this year. So those are some bold predictions there, and I think B.J. Goodson will have an incredible year for us, man. I really do. So the depth is there, dude. The depth is there finally. Finally. So that's about it, man. Just optimistic as always. Y'all know how I do it.
Real quick question, then we'll go to this. Let me ask you about the safety look. Do you think if, you know, I think, of course, Collins is going to be on the team, but Thompson and Adams, do you see Spagnuolo using sub packages with three safety looks to get real creative? Let's say if they don't go with an extra corner, but let's say they go with one less linebacker, but throwing an extra safety, you think they'll get cute with that, with these type of defensive packages that Spagnuolo can really mix and match the quality of safeties that we have and not let them, like, you know, sit on the bench? Certain, you know, certain percentages of the game, not every down, but certain plays. Like, what's your thoughts on that? And then we'll go to Sim.
No. They're a lot more of a traditional team. I can't really see them doing all that craziness there, man. You know, say Darian Thompson gets a start and Andrew Adams is behind him. We know Andrew Adams is a starter in this league. I can see him coming in on late, you know, long third downs and things like that where you need to cover four, cover six. You need a lot of guys out there. But as far as removing a linebacker and having three safeties, no, I can't see that at all. Maybe with a young defensive coordinator, you know, on a different team, but on the Giants, man, one of our staples is we're traditional. That big blue wrecking crew defense, man, it's very, very traditional. It's very pro style, and it's going to be that way forever, man, especially with Spags, with that Super Bowl run when we had those, when we had the legends that we did. He's going to keep it that way, and it proved to work this year. So I can't see that at all. You know, Landon Collins is a freak of his own at safety, and he can do it all. And then we have another on the other side that can cover as well. So I don't really see the need for three. I think it's going to clog up the backfield too much. And as far as I'm concerned, we shouldn't need three safeties. The linebacker should be able to keep that second level protected enough to not need three safeties. But again, on a three-man, three deep, cover six, cover four, I expect to see both safeties out there, definitely.
All right, that's at everything NYG, at everything NYG, Rob underscore Cross on Instagram as well. ASM, what's your thoughts as well as far as what's been said thus far? And anything else you'd like to add to the roundtable as well? In the battle on the right side of the line, if you want to put in your two cents on that.
I mean, the battle on the right side of the line is going to be interesting, man. Can DJ Fluka unseat John Jerry? Can Adam Bizzenwadi come in as a rookie and give Bobby Hart some run? You know, there's going to be something to look forward to see. Gotta with Robbie, man. I think Darian Thompson in the third round was a steal, and I thank God every day that he had that leg injury when he was at the combine and he ran what he ran. Because if it wasn't for that, we probably wouldn't have gotten him in the third round. And you know, that freak accident with the Lisfranc, I think that kid is going to be special, man. You saw it, Steve, the first game when he played Dallas, man. That open field tackle that he made against Ezekiel Elliott one-on-one. And that dude is fast, strong, and shifty. And he cut him down at the line of scrimmage like a hot knife through butter, man. So I'm going to be real, real interested to see now with a year under his belt as far as learning the scheme. I know he wasn't on the field a lot, but, you know, he did go through OTAs. He did go through mini camp. He did go through a whole training camp. And he did get his feet wet with two NFL games. Actually three, because he played in that Redskins game. That was the game that he got injured, the first Redskins game. So he has experience playing. So I'm pretty sure that the game is going to slow down for him a little bit more. And, you know, with the mastery of the defense, he'll be able to react and not think as much. And I'm also interested to see what kind of second-year jump you're going to get from Eli Apple. Cornerback is the second hardest position to play behind quarterback. He had his good moments. He had his bad moments last year. But, you know, the game slows down. And then it's different coming in as a rookie, not knowing the speed of the game, not knowing how it is to be a professional. He's had a year to do it now. So he knows what an off-season program is as far as hitting the weight room and, you know, doing the things that he needs to do. He can get in the playbook a little bit more and familiarize himself with his assignments, things like that. So he can, you know, react and not think as much, and especially on defense. The one thing you don't want to do as a defensive player is be thinking a lot. Defense is reaction. So the more comfortable he is with the scheme mentally, he'll be able to just use his God-given ability and just react to the plays in front of him. And I can see him making a lot more plays He may never be one of the upper echelon corners, but, I mean, listen, if he gives us the type of production that DRC's been giving us since he's been here, I think we'll all sign up for that. So hopefully he can take a step up as well, and, you know, that's the stuff that I'm really interested in seeing so far once camp comes around in the preseason.
All right, cool. Thank you very much. Christian, what's your thoughts on what's been said by Robbie and Sim and anything else you'd like to add if you have your thoughts on the safeties, Goodson, the competition on the right side of the line, the whole shebang?
Look. You know, I get a lot of knowledge, not from reading any of the periodicals, not from dealing with any of the TV, you know, sports news. I don't even watch it anyway, but I get a lot from you guys, from the Robbies, the Sims of the world, you know. And when I hear this kind of knowledge, and you, Steve, so when I hear real deep analysis being put down, I know where to go from there. There's not much to say, man. I mean, look, I believe that, well, there can be some fine tuning with our linebacker core. I agree with that. You guys know that's not a secret. But do we have enough to toe the line? Yeah. Are we going to find somebody shocking in that group? Probably. I believe somebody that we always put down. I believe B.J. Goodson will have a breakout year. I think this is his moment. I think he's going to show a lot of leadership ability, and that's going to really surprise us. You know, because we weren't expecting that. We were just looking at playing ability. The secondary's ready. We already know about the defensive tackle. There's really nothing more to say, Steve, except that, you know, we want to really see. What I want to do is I want the Steve jinx to break. Okay, every time, every year for the past 7 years, somebody in training camp gets hurt. Okay. Somebody in training camp gets hurt every year. It's called the Steve Jinx. The bleed blue.
Don't say that.
you do it every year to me. But you know what? Lately, I'm gonna give you a little credit. Lately it's been lesser players. It's been it hasn't been anybody mainstream. No front line cat. I just want to get through training camp, man. That's all it is. I'm learning more from you guys than I am from anything else this year. I want to hear it because before I did all the talking, didn't listen, sort of brought my own analysis and was wrong a lot of times lately, you know, but concerning the draft, concerning personnel moves, concerning player abilities. Some guys came and left. I won't mention them that I thought that were going to be a little bit better than they turned out to be. I'm not going to mention any names, Jennings or anything like that. But I'm just going to go ahead and say, hey, man, you know, look, I'm just looking forward to the season, bro. Just let me look forward to the season, and let me just listen to you guys and pick up as much as I could.
Let's go to Christian. And Christian, let's go around for final thoughts. We'll start with Christian. Christian, take your time on anything that's on your mind with mandatory camp, Giants related, NFL related, and then we'll go around.
With Giants, man. I love so far, I guess, the chemistry between the wide receivers, our top three. I mean, they haven't shown anything crazy, you know, but I just like everything I've seen so far, and that is very positive, you know. So that is always a sign that you want to have, you know. When it comes to the rookies, man, I like what I'm hearing so far, man. I think we have a great rookie class, you know, again, with Webb, man. Like, I wasn't down or that very high on him, you know. Like, it was okay. I trust the team when they chose him. I was like, okay, I trust the draft, the GM and everyone that decided to draft him. So, but, like, everything I'm hearing, it's so exciting to hear about him, man. And he has a strong arm. Man, once Eli retires, I think we will be in good hands if he continues to improve and develop. Let me see what else. When it comes to the safeties, I think by the time training camp ends, hopefully it's Darian Thompson that takes the lead, takes the starting position. But if Adams and whoever else comes into play, and you know, it's a real battle. When it comes to the season, I don't think we'll have a lot of three safety looks. That's just because I think someone is gonna show out and show that it's their position and the team is better when, you know, I guess for example, Darian Thompson. If we play him and Collins, just those two with a two safety look, basically it'll be better and more effective. And we just add in another linebacker, leave it like that, you know. But I think that's one of the main battles to look at, the safety battle. Let's see what else. I think that's pretty much it, man. Obviously, we want to see Beckham and Marshall and, you know, and Shepard, how they, I guess, how plays are going to look with those three on the field at the same time. But that safety battle, man, I don't think we're going to have a three safety look. Maybe once in a blue, but barely. That's what I think as of right now. And that's pretty much it, man. Signs are good. It's a great sign. Last point. It's a great sign that things are looking up because our head coach has a new hairdo. And he looks younger. It looks like he knows what's coming this season, and he's ready for this season. You know, he knows what team he has, the personnel he has, and it's like he understands that he can't mess this up. You know what I mean? Like, you can't really ask for more than what we have on our team, you know? And, yeah, that's pretty much it, man. I'm excited. Go Big Blue.
Man, shout-outs to Christian, man. He's excited. He said the slip back by Ben McAdoo got him even looking even younger, man. Great thoughts, man. shout-outs to Christian. Good follow. On Twitter as well. Robbie, you too, man. Your final thoughts as well, and then we'll go to Chris and they'll wrap up. Now, Robbie, what's your thoughts on mandatory camp and anything around the league too, if you want to add any of your two cents on that?
Yeah, man. One battle that I want to put in y'all's heads real quick. I'm going to make another prediction like the Darian Thompson thing, man. Adam Bisnewadi, our sixth-round pick, he will start at right tackle this year. Remember I said that. Adam Bisnewadi will start at right tackle this year. Look, I'm telling you, that is an underrated camp battle. It's a very, very, very underrated camp battle. All you got there is Bobby Hart to beat out. And maybe Fluker if they don't put him at guard. I'm telling you, you heard it here first. Adam Bisnewadi will be the Giants starting right tackle. And if he's not, that's a mistake and a half. That's a mistake. He is a mauler, man. That dude is everything you want in an offensive tackle. Dude is nasty. They had to tell him to slow down in camp because he was hitting too hard without pads. Come on, man. What is Bobby Hart doing? Losing weight. What is Adam Bisnewadi doing? Killing people. Start him. I'm telling you, man. Watch. Adam Bisnewadi will start, and it'll be a great decision. I really, really believe that. Other than that, great show as always. Great points as always. I'll talk to y'all next week. Blue Blue.
Add everything in 1G. Shout-outs to Robbie. Shout-outs to Christian. Chris, you got any final thoughts as well, man?
Great show. Great show. Great analysis. Great fans. Great stakeholders. Great hosts. Take it home, bro.
Shout-outs to Robbie, Chantel. Knickerbocker Avenue checked in real quick. Tried to get him on. Couldn't get him on. It's Sim, Christian, Chris, and myself, Blee Blue Show. Shout out to the folks on Instagram and on Facebook as well with their thoughts that put in the comments. So, yeah, man, Big Blue Roundtable, iTunes, Podcast Republic, tune in your Stitcher apps to download our episodes so you hear what Robbie, Christian, Sim, Chantel, Chris, Steve had to say on the mandatory stuff as well. We'll be back next Thursday for another topic here on the Big Blue Roundtable. And real quick, if you are interested, like we said, for the fantasy football for the Blee Blue Show, email the Blee Blue Show your payment of $100 to the Blee Blue Show on PayPal to get in your entry as well. And then also, we are looking I'll say looking. We are doing video shows as well on the weekend. And if you are interested, please email bleedblueshow@gmail.com. So if you want to participate into that stuff. So that is bleedblueshow@gmail.com to talk football video feed on the weekends when we do our video shows as well. Sangre Azul, Bleed Blue. Have a good evening.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.